So, Jack, thanks for being available for Here Now TV. It's our first interview of this kind, our first recorded interview. Even though I think we had our first contact around April, May 2009. That was when I became aware of you via Never Not Here. Shot an email at you, you came back with an email. The first question you had to me was, do you still believe that you are a separate individual?
Yeah, I cut them straight to the chase, you know the style.
And at that time I was puzzled by this question.
Good, get something to think about then, huh? Yeah, see what was still running, yeah.
But then, 3 or 4 emails later, some clarity started arising. So, even seeing this belief of being a separate individual is just a belief started.
It has no foundation at all. And it's amazing because it's such a simple thing, you know. You could even ask a child, do you believe you're separate? I mean, it's not a complex thing, but it's like, whoa! And if that, there's enough distance there from thoughts, with some, you know, capacity to really, really be not attached to all that presents, to all the appearance. You know? And then, of course, you've got to look and see, well, what is it that's watching the appearance? And go even prior to that. But it's a good middle ground to really start looking, well, is this belief running that you are separate? And even if it's only running sometimes, 1 second is too much. Because then you can't, you're lost then. You're hypnotized in the movie, you know, of life. It's a good thing.
It's a fundamental one. This is just one example, and there are so many thoughts and beliefs connected to this. And the really crazy thing is that we have to teach our children that they are separate.
Yeah. So that you get lost and play for a while, and then discover that you were just playing. And some children don't buy it at all, you know, just don't ever get pulled into the matrix. But that's how it works. But I don't know. We just promote conditioning, even though knowing that it's ultimately going to create suffering, you know. But nothing is lost in that, you see. When there's a knowing that it's not real, there's nothing lost in that moving towards suffering, because it's just a going in and coming out of what you're not. It's just the idea that you're stuck in love. The idea. They're just ideas. So they're totally harmless, of course, when you can see their ideas. But when you're in it, it's torture. That experience is worth having, so consciousness says. Otherwise, we wouldn't be telling our children. Otherwise, we wouldn't continue with this potential for suffering, you know? But we do continue, so it's just consciousness knowing that, hey, this is the game, let's keep playing the game, you know. Getting engrossed in any game, watching tennis on TV, watching golf, doesn't matter what you're doing, it's the same thing. The game pulling you in, you know, that's all that your attention can be on for a while. And that's what the conditioning offers, you know, just to get lost for a while. But you're not really lost, you just think you're lost, you know.
I think it's even worse. You don't even know that you are lost.
You don't even know you're lost, yeah. You can't, you see. You can't know you're lost. Because if you know you're lost, there's something watching what's lost. So you're not lost then, you know? Not lost at all then, if you know you're lost. You know? You already have 1 foot out. I'm lost in this all about me story. It's like, well, you're not really. You've already started to pull back. It's okay. You know?
I know.
Yeah. It's wonderful though, isn't it wonderful? all of it. The crap and the joy, it's all just quite fantastic. I think one thing that somebody asked me recently, what's different? And the first answer is, well, nothing is different, everything is the same. But after some time, it's like, actually, some things are different. Some years later. And one is that there is a capacity to enjoy everything. That everything is enjoyed. Even the crappy stuff. It's actually enjoyed. It's almost like enjoyment is going on. Enjoyment of what is, of rising out of what is. And then there's the appearance of what's happening in the world. That's at a different level. That's thicker, deeper, denser. That's more in story. It's like outside of, oh, there's joy because it's Saturday. Not talking about because, not the applied cause of suffering, of enjoyment. But there's an enjoyment that's there all the time, regardless of something really stressful or whatever. It's like there's that human functioning that takes care of life, the Jack character. But there's a capacity to enjoy that's just there all the time, which seems to be the link between the appearance of the Jack character and what she engages with. And pure consciousness, which is all that I am. Manifesting as Jack and the rhinos and the 6 billion others and the rocks and the trees and the galaxies. And that's what I am. That's what I am. You know? It's just so clear. And but sure, you can't do anything but enjoy yourself. Not out of a choice. But something, the operation of the appearance is enjoyed by itself. So there's always that. There's always that enjoyment. That's one thing that's different. Because when you're stuck in the story, and even when you've one leg out of the story, the capacity to enjoy can only be interpreted by, enjoy this, I can't enjoy this. It's like, hold on now. Without the personal eye, enjoyment, it's just a frequency that's there for no reason, prior to cause and effect. Just a condition of consciousness in appearance.
It's like an undertone, like a natural state underneath everything.
Yeah.
I believe it is somehow related also to the capability to accept as it is now, which when you're really stuck in the story sometimes gets lost. Thoughts like it should be other, it should be different now.
Yeah.
Have some power.
Yes. Yes. That's a step more deep into the world, yeah. Because that kind of gives you something to do on it. So what I'm talking about is a step prior to that. But yes, moving deeper into the story, yes, there is something one can do then, because we have an individual eye and acceptance. Sure, is an attribute there. But even prior to acceptance, at some point acceptance or rejection, also the two of these must be dropped because they're too deep in doership. But it's a very good stepping stone in order to drop the resistance of what is. And even, you see, the what is a confinement within here and now. We are looking at time and space and this whole structure. Even that will fall away. Even that will fall away. There is no is, having said there is. You know? What is? The verb. The present tense verb. That's not an absolute either. That's an relative that has to go. There is no right now. But when there's an individual eye, yes, there is a right now, there's a present moment, and it's a great practice to accept what is and just be with it. And at that moment, you know, a good trick is to say, what do you need right now? What do you need right now? And if you really check inside, when the person arrives, like, what do you need right now? Well, actually, nothing. You know, you will pop through the desires. Well, I need, whatever, $1 million, I need, you know. And it's like, okay, really, 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 what do you need now? And it'll land you into that place of acceptance, you know? You know, gosh, you know, actually, nothing. Just that split second. You know. But yes, these are techniques and very useful while the personal eye is running.
Hmm.
And they'll fall away. They'll fall away too. But they're worth running with while the personal eye is running, you know? Of course they're worth running it, because if that's what's playing and you think, you know, you're believing your own stories and you think you're on a journey and you've some place to go, gosh, you gotta. You gotta work with what you have. You know, the beliefs haven't spun out yet. Consciousness is still playing with the idea that it's separate. So what are you going to do? You're a product of consciousness, imagining that it is apart, disconnected from itself. Well, you know, that's how you are. If you think you're separate, you know, your basic idea of consciousness, that's believing itself.
I cannot hear you at the moment. Can you repeat the last sentence? No.
I'll have to toy around the idea again because I don't know what was the last sentence. It's incredible that one would think, one has the capacity to think, well, I believe I'm separate and I believe I'm on a journey, a spiritual path, and I believe I've got something to heal or to evolve out of, and I want to see the truth of who I am. And while that show is running, isn't it exquisite? Because this is consciousness imagining and believing its own story. It created a bundle of ideas to imagine. That's really complex stuff, really. The whole ability to imagine, run a program that it thinks it's not itself, that it's separate from itself, just for fun. You know, there I am, I'm separate from myself. Okay, let's disconnect the overview and the total understanding and run this history so deep that I'm not, maybe I can imagine I'm not myself. What would that be like? You know, I don't like this, actually. And it's a success for consciousness. Of course you don't like it, because it's such a lie, you know. How can you be not what you are? It's like, no. But these ideas are so beautifully created, and that's saying life is exquisite, consciousness is fantastic, because it successfully fools itself, totally and completely. But an individual is only an idea of consciousness that works. You know, and every individual is a consequence of consciousness imagining that it can be separate, because it can't from itself. It's indivisible. It can't be separate from itself. So it's only imagining it. And these we call these, you know? As if there's a we, you know? Like, gosh, as if there's separation, as if there's my belief and your belief. It's like, wow! Just fantastic. Cheers.
Cheers.
Drinking hot water. Are you drinking anything more interesting?
Coffee.
Oh, man.
That's poison in the spiritual circles. People don't drink coffee, but I drink lots of it.
Oh, I can't digest it at all. I shake and everything.
Mm. Yeah. Why, by the way? Why?
Why? I don't know. They say there's an allergy to it, you know? Nutritionists, they have an allergy to it. Keeps me awake. It just upsets my nervous system. You know, I don't know what to do with it in my body. And it seems to just throw out the nervous system. So
you don't do it, huh?
No. I wouldn't be bothered doing that to my body.
So what is up next for you on your schedule?
Touring begins again in a week. So, Europe and then over to the States. Canada. Back again in January for Findhorn, and then back to the States, March, April, back to Europe for the Stand Conference in France in May, and then back to the States again in June. So there's a fair bit of swing and going for a while.
Where will the Stand Conference be next year?
Yeah, someplace outside Amsterdam, just the outskirts of Amsterdam, I think. Or did I take a train from there? You know, I don't know. There's one in Holland, obviously. Flight was to Amsterdam. I can't remember the town it was in.
Close to Amsterdam in the Netherlands, but next year you said it will be in France.
No, that's back then. I was just running things together there. It's in Amsterdam. It's in the same venue. And then there's one in San Rafael in California also.
Okay, will you attend both?
Yeah. I'm in San Rafael this off. No, it's next October because I was already booked. Yes, I'm going to both next year. Yeah.
Okay. So you enjoyed this year's in the Netherlands?
Yeah. I was only there for a day, you know, because I was booked already. But yeah, it's nice, you know. There's a nice community feel to it, you know. And this Jack character is particularly interested where science and physics and academia meets non-duality. I tend to be less of the nebulous side of non-duality and more like, well, what does science say? What do they prove around the atoms, around energy, around existence? That kind of rocks my boat a little bit, I think. So, looking at that side of things. And those conferences, there are people interested in the same thing, so that's fun.
I almost went to the Netherlands this year, but I did not have the energy anymore because we had a festival in Germany, which was 4 days long, just the weekend before SANS. So that was enough for me. I was done.
There can be an overload for sure.
So, what did you learn at the Netherlands Festival in SANS? Which impressions did stay?
There was a chap there with a machine that he had devised. I can't remember the name of it now offhand, but there's a brochure here someplace, whereby he used sound to create a particular set of brain waves, which are parallel to when you take hallucinogenic drugs, but without the medicine, obviously, recreating the brain waves. And so you are in a cubicle, a black cubicle, with earphones. And with this sound, and there are blocks also on the soles of your feet and on your hands. I think there was something also on your abdomen. And where they penetrated particular waves, frequencies into the body. It was a trip. It was great fun. It's a little bit like taking plant medicine, because if you try to control it or if you don't let it carry you, you don't get it, you know. And it was like, whoosh, zooming through the galaxy, you know. It was just like, whoa, a trip way out there, you know. It's just a fantastic thing. And what he has discovered is that an awful lot of physical healing happens for the next few days. And for sure it impacted on the way this mind works. For sure. It just altered things a little bit, you know. Altered the speed of how my mind works. Which can tend to be pretty fast sometimes. But it's just like, gosh, you know, here we are with science doing what plants can do, you know, what plant medicine can do. That was the thing that I found fantastic. That's what stayed with me.
It's just by sound.
Frequencies, yeah. Just by sound. Yeah. Replicating the frequency, because, you know, a frequency of anything, of an aspirin, there's a frequency there. You know, that's what makes things work, because you can reduce everything to energy. And so, from that perspective, of course, everything can be addressed. You know?
And maybe that is one of the secrets of music. And
yes.
Gets close to that area.
It does.
Can influence moods.
Hugely. All these gifts are out there in nature, you know, they're just there at your fingertips. You don't have to go to any retreat. It's like, try classical music, you know. You know. By Mozart, stay away from Chopin. You know, it's like an awful lot you can do at home with the radio. But that's just play, isn't it? You know, it's just play.
So normally you still do satsangs as you did before. Do you do other work as well? You worked for some time as a healer. Or is this still on or partly on? Or
No, there's little interest in it. Sometimes I find myself doing it, but it's never motivated by anything except, oh, you know, I'm in a restaurant and all of a sudden there's Jack's subtle body or something, or some aspect of this form is over with my hands in front and behind of somebody's chest, you know, doing a piece of work, you know, and it's like whoops, just see myself doing it and I completely ignore it. Completely, it's like, yeah, just noticed, you know, that it happens. Or during the night, I do a lot of stuff during the night. I know I would do it during the night, you know. So some part of this Jack character does healing work, but it's of no interest to the part of mind that functions, the functioning mind of during the day. But it seems that some part is still offering that, you know. You know. The movement away from it. The movement away from it is as much as I can do as a woman. And the other stuff just goes on, managed by, I don't know, consciousness or something. But I seem to have no connection with it, do you know? In the functioning mind that works here, there's no motivation, no intention, no watching it, no noting it. It's just like, you just see yourself over there working, you know?
How does this relate to this sound thing? Is there a connection?
It's all frequency, isn't it? It's all just sharing frequency, or adding something, or reorganizing something, or it's all about this, isn't it? Moving vibrations around, seeing how things oscillate. Well, not even seeing it, or playing a part in the oscillation of atoms at a different speed, you know. That goes on. So if consciousness does that, you know, and it's like the Jack character has no interest in it, but consciousness does it. So it's like, whatever, you know. Yeah. And then when this body gets sick, you know, my own friend was like, you spent years doing healing energy work, and I had a seriously busy practice, you know. And it's like, why don't you heal yourself? And it's like, oh. Never, that idea, it just never comes. But I've got a couple of friends who say, you told me to remind you to heal yourself, you know? I'm like, oh, okay. And then I do, but the motivation never arises from within. It's that disconnected, you know, from who the personality is now. But that's very useful. I've kind of set up external reminders. And so then I do. Then I do focus on whatever, maneuvering this body faster out of something. It's all there for us, isn't it? It's just all there, you know. But when there's no desire to control, or when there's no idea that things should be a better way or would perform better in another way, there often isn't a movement towards doing things like that. You know, that idea doesn't come. But
I understand exactly what you mean. Yeah.
So external things, it's like, it's useful. Oh, remind me to do this, remind me to do this, you know. Or I put up a sign someplace in the house, you know, to just, oh, okay, focus on that, okay. You know, and then you can fix anything, pretty much, you know. when it's just balls of energy anyway. Let's forget their natural blueprint, or I don't know, we can put it in lots of different ways. But And you see, the thing is, like, when people say, but, you know, your health is your wealth, and if the body is well, you know, that's your capacity to enjoy. And it's like, it's the Jap interpretation of the capacity to enjoy, but that's nothing. That's not what's enjoying all of it. This body goes, well, it's no difference to anything. The whole is not affected by the part. It's not. I'm the whole. I'm not the part. I'm not. So then, when that's clearly known, like, whatever conditioning there was there prior to it, whatever habits were there around taking care of the body, okay, they're in place, but they weren't a whole lot because so much was thrown away. I'm not, this body was running so hard for so long to try and get really into, well, am I this body? And looking at this body, that a disregard kicked in for this body. So there's a bit of reclaiming of ground, you know, in order to just have wellness in the body. But it just, it's not what I am, and it's not needed enjoyment of all of it, and it makes no difference to consciousness. So it's like, without cause and effect, external reminders are needed. They just need it, you know, until some other new piece of conditioning, and God, this Jap character would welcome a new piece of conditioning to take care of the body in a different way, you know. Isn't it funny? You kind of end up in a bind in other ways, you know.
You end up on a bind?
In a bind. It ends up because baseline care is taken. Okay, the functioning mind does the basic food and shelter and what's needed, you know, and whatever conditioning is there around putting on clothes in the morning and being generally, you know, presentable, I suppose, you know. Out the door of my PJs yet, apart from just to put out the bin, so thankfully that stayed intact. So that baseline is there, but like as you get older, for example, or different things are needed in the body, you know, or, you know, different things happen as you get older. It's like it needs more care, it needs specific exercise. This stuff to kick in. It's just not kicking in for this body. It's just not. The new ideas of like, okay, Jack, you're like in your mid-40s, you know, this is happening, that's happening, you know, and take calcium, take this, and it's like, gosh, like the conditioning is, I have to work at it. I have to work at it to develop new habits, really work at it. They don't stick that easy. And I used to be really, really disciplined, you know, because I very seriously walked a certain and sometimes there's a feeling of like, oh, okay, this has the energy of a discipline. Okay, so then there's a reminder to take this because it feels like discipline. Or wheat and chocolate have gone from my diet this year. And it feels like that's a discipline. Now, I know that, and it's perfect. It's, oh, okay, because the structure for discipline was in place. There was no problem about discipline. I was very disciplined. And so it's like that phrase, discipline is still in place, and so new habits can be, if it click into the frequency of discipline, they will happen. Of starting new habits, develop routine, can't develop habits, just can't. It has to click in as a discipline, or it just won't stick.
Mm-hmm.
The mind totally is working in a different way. It just is. There isn't that. Oh, I need that for. I need whatever it is, calcium on my bones. It's like, gosh, you know, it's like cause and effect, not as effective at all. It's like, you know, it's like something is there saying, yeah, cause and effect works, but it doesn't work. So the motivation isn't isn't coherent in order to take something to help something else. You know? Does any of that make sense?
For me, it makes a lot of sense, yeah. I wonder if it makes sense for somebody who does not have this perspective.
No harm to introduce it, though, and just see if that opens another mechanism of how mind works and how certain conditioning remains when truth is seen, and other regular, normal conditioning of like stuff that would be related to family or having an argument with somebody or getting hurt so that you contract then and you're fearful of. None of that happens. Nothing sticks like that, you see. So that kind of conditioning just doesn't happen. You get burned and you'll get burned again 20 more times in the same way, and it's like, gosh, you know. You know? Mm. Whereas during your life, you get burned once, you might get burned twice, but then you learn your lesson and you go on your way. But now it doesn't really. There seems to be. There's nothing lost and nothing gained, you see, so the flow is always fine, there's nothing wrong with it, you know? It takes somebody outside to say, but you're being screwed over, and I'm like, so? You know, it's just an experience, actually, it looks like I'm being screwed over, but it's just an experience, no? So there isn't a good bad that can go on like I dislike, onto any kind of thing. So I thought, there's no way that conditioning can stick. Just new conditioning doesn't have the same fertile ground, you know. Yeah. It changes. It does change. But at a conceptual level, it's only about concepts not sticking. That's really what it is.
It's play. Playful concept, so.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fun to watch, though, to see how it works. See, gosh, you know. I wish science would, you know, just take some, I don't know, brain CAT scans, or, I don't know, monitor. Perception shifts. What is this? What is this physiologically when perception shifts in this way? That's all seeing the truth is, it's a shift in perception, actually, really. It's just a shift in perception, and the old perception just burns out. And it becomes complete, you know?
Like, what can I say? I mean, it is a shift in perception. Seems to be like seeing through how thinking works. So I don't know. It's so difficult to put it into words. Just seeing that thoughts are not reality. Thoughts are just proposals. And then there is the level of thoughts on the surface, and there are deeper levels coming from conditionings, and they are beliefs, often unconscious. Very powerful stuff.
Yeah. Powerful when you give it attention, consciously or unconsciously, whatever attention it takes. Then it's got power, yeah. Yeah. Potent. Huge potential. Amazing.
And it is possible to come into this state of not suffering, huh?
And it's not that there is somebody there who's not suffering. That's the catch 22, huh? That's the little kink in it.
That's why I said it's a state of not suffering, yeah.
State of not suffering, but not for anybody, you know. Yeah, it's just a running state. It's just a running state in consciousness, yeah.
So these energies of suffering don't occur anymore, are not perceived anymore, or I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're not owned, you know? And if they're not owned, there's no place for them to land and become personal. I guess if I broke my leg, of course, there would be pain, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But the perception would be that the body's in pain. It would never be my pain. That's the difference. It's like, that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But the body would be in pain. But then, so then, it takes a person to be suffering. But it's just the body's in pain because it's trying to heal itself. And it doesn't lead any place else. It doesn't lead to the suffering. You know? Because there has to be an individual who will own the suffering for it to register as suffering. You know? So while people say, well, I don't want to suffer anymore, it's like all you're doing is downloading an idea of suffering. Suffering can cruise there, but it won't download if the I is gone. You can't manipulate your life to get rid of suffering, but you can look at this downloading base called the personal I. This is what you can look at, because this is what registers that suffering is happening. You know, suffering isn't the problem, it's the one who is owning the suffering experience. And denying that there's suffering isn't what we're talking about at all. It's about bringing stuff up. It's not about suppressing it or denying it, or just grabbing another concept to deny something. It takes much more honesty than that, doesn't it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this is scientific. It's scientific to look into it.
There's loads of things that can be explored, you know. Science is catching up. It's catching up. But for sure they could, my goodness, it's just sitting there for some PhD students to just really go into it and see what is that? What fires in a different way in the brain, you know? What happens, like, because if one breaks one's leg, it's the nerve endings, no? That message goes into the brain, like, my leg hurts. Okay, the leg hurts or my leg hurts? Is that a different message? It must register differently something. It must. There must be a physiological explanation because it's about the appearance. There's nothing. There really is nothing spiritual. Am I going to get in trouble for saying this sentence? We'll say it anyway. There's nothing spiritual about awakening, really. Really. You know?
It's 100% clear. For me, this is more scientific. Huh? It is bottom down, grounded, down to earth stuff.
Yes.
It's exactly about abandoning all these ideas of spirituality and even of science. It's even more immediate.
Of course. This might be another way to help people to understand that it is just a physiological happening for the mechanism we call mind. And we can't find mind, of course. Physiologically, you can't find mind anyway. So there must be some firing in the brain that will register or whatever, you know. It's for the mind. It's just for the mind. It's just for thought processes. That's the shift in perception. It's nothing out there, you know. And we say grace and whatever, and that helps to drop desire, because then you're not in control of it anymore. But it's a trick, you know. Even talking about grace is a trick, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's all just a setup in order to just let there be surrender. You know, drop this idea that you're separate. You know, and you can't drop it because the one who's dropping it is the problem.
Yeah.
So, have to do that.
Indeed.
Run it. Whenever it's running, okay, come back. Come back whenever it's running. That's all you can do. So it's not being invested in anymore, you know?
The best maybe to say is it is about seeing or being aware that it's all perceiving appearances all the time. Maybe that is a way Just just appearance. There's only what appears, but it's not more than an appearance. And being clear about that. But there is nobody who is clear.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's only an appearance.
So then people come to check satsang. So what do they expect and get? What typically happens there?
Not a lot. Some countries, communities, cities have had more exposure to this work and have done more work, seen through more of the illusion than others. So there are some countries where the work is quite a lot about personal development, around learning how to break conditioning. So sometimes it's about that, and it's like, okay, fine, we'll do kind of a therapy, whatever. Wherever it goes, it goes. And then on the second day, it's like, okay, now we're getting less of the therapy and we're looking at what's deeper. But sometimes the story runs so hard and so strong for people that that's all they can come with to satsang, is like, this is happening in my life, this is happening in my marriage, this is what I'm doing with my 16-year-old son. And if that's what's running, you know, let's follow that. It's all the same, you see. Whether it's somebody's pain or if it's somebody who can see that existence is not real, you know? It's the same. So wherever the jack form can click in to the illusion and pull it up, it seems to be what happens energetically. It's like, okay, that's where the majority of the group are at, and we go there. And then you'll find on day three people are saying, but sure, my story is just all about me. It's not actually about the particulars at all of the pain I came with. Like, yeah, it's because you created that pain, you're going to get another pain, because the baseline is how you see the world, how you see yourself, and the filters that you have, which alter perception. So I found that there's no point at all in sitting and talking about that which is prior to consciousness with a group who are just full of pain and suffering. What's the point of that? So it's very much a response. The style here is a response to where the group is at, and pull them up as much as they go. And so some countries, some cities for sure, it's not a mature community. It's still very much in the realm of suffering, and it takes a fair lot of shaking before we can get to real non-dual work. And then there are others that are just way out there, you know, way out there, and it's not about conditioning at all. But it's really about the finer details of perception breaking down. Mm? And sometimes there's a mix, and you know, you get one person saying, "I don't have a clue what the last person was talking to you about, but I want to know, should I leave my job?" Right, it's kind of fun. It's like, hey, you know, it's all the same. It's all the same, you know. So, and then you get people walking out, you know, because it's like, well, this is about personal development, and it's like, well, it wouldn't be if you started talking, you know. I know, you know, it's like, sure, it's up to people to decide what way it goes, you know. So they're very varied. They're very varied, yeah. They're very varied. Silent residentials are great fun because invariably there's time to pull the perception out of all about me. And if folks are encouraged not to speak at all between satsang sittings, it's very useful because they can't moan and groan and rebuild the ego that we've pulled apart in the last session. So they're not speaking very useful. It's very useful to give it a good shake and to see if there's a crack in order to step out of all of that story. You know, just not complaining in general, or not going into your own drama. Hey, do that at home, you know. Don't let it be all about me. You know, 2 ears and 1 mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. Just not to reinforce the all about me. Become a bit more silent, you know. Pull back a little bit. You know, and this really does help. Really does help to just not invest so much in the personalized story. The belief will be threatened. And this is where we go, huh? With this work. This is where we go.
Do you also do some dynamic meditations or some stuff like that in order to get stirred, to get the structure stirred up? There, for example, Osho developed some stuff which he calls dynamic with...
I have heard about that. No, I don't do anything. It will come up. We just sit together and whoops, it's going to come. It's just the nature of satsang. You just sit and whoops, up it pops, up it pops, up it pops. It's like a washing machine for people, you know, being at these satsang gatherings, you know. It's just, there's no place to hide it. It's just the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, you know. You know, so, yeah. And then there's chanting. Singing is fun, you know. Singing is fun. There's a role for music in all of this. Oh, we started talking about this actually at the beginning of this chat. Yeah, yeah. There really is a role for music. It's just another way to get that vibration moving, you know, to just penetrate what's sticky and dense, you know. And so at the residential retreats, we chant in the evening. Yeah, we chant. And that helps, you know. It helps to shift that perception.
How long are you at residential retreats?
6 days. 6 days. That tends to be as much as has value, because it's better if people go back to their own life and integrate, just integrate and just let it settle. You know, any more than that, and I've done, the longest has been a 28-day one, you know. When it's longer, it's like a shock to the system. People can't take it, you know. They just can't take it. It's just not organic enough for the pace of evolution. And so I've learned how to respond to that more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
6 days is enough. 6 days is enough, yeah. Mm.
Any recommendations for the everyday life of the people who go to your satsangs? And then do you have any follow-up activities that people should build into their daily lives?
It's always a personal response, because no two paths are the same. It's always a personal response. And so that's why I do use a questionnaire's chair, so that energetically I seem to be able to see what makes a difference for the person who's in front of me. They usually don't like what I say, which is when it's most accurate, you know. And so what people are talking about is usually something underneath it that I tend to be after. Like, it's not really what you're saying. It's this, which is the seed bed of this perception, which is our problem. Not what you're actually saying, but where it came from. And so in doing that work, there's usually, depending on the personality type, there's usually an individual response of what would help them to crack that, or to see it in future, or to not reinvest and rebuild the ego that we've just shone a light on, you know. So many people go to satsang retreats, go to all kinds of workshops, anything on this line, and then they go home and it's like lovely for 2 weeks, and then all the stuff is there, and it's like, of course, because there must be a personal response. There must be something in there which makes sense to your personality, to your lifestyle. Sometimes it's like, take up exercise, because it's through the body that you're going to shake this out. And it's literally physiologically a shaking of energy that will work. And with somebody else, it's like talk less, just stop talking, and that will help. You know, so it's everybody has their own personality style that reinforces the ego. And this is the Jack style. It's like there is no two medicines that are the same. None. None. Because consciousness doesn't duplicate. So how can two remedies work for the same person? They don't. They don't. You know? They're all going to be slightly different. And so the personalized response is the Jack style, you know? And then having said that, the commonalities, the particulars are always individualized, but the commonalities that are there, like, let's look at that belief. Like, what do you believe? What do you believe around separation, around the world? How attached are you to right and wrong? How much investment is there in your self-image in terms of what people think of you? In how much do you defend your own point of view? How much do you qualify yourself if you're misunderstood? These are generic things. Everybody can work on these. Because this is the subtle defense, defending the ego. At times, it takes a lot of work. But these things apply to everybody. So there are layers to it. There's particulars, which you have to get into that fine, subtle detail. And then there are the generic ones of how to maintain an ego.
Mm-hmm.
That sure, everybody needs those tools, you know. Everybody needs tools, you know. And I can see it even with some satsang speakers or those who haven't seen the truth. If they didn't have those skills, man, you can just be conditioning sticking. And it's like, oh my God, conditioning stick. There is something there which is still running, and maintaining the self-image and defending itself and needing to be right. And it's like, simply because those tools weren't developed or honed down on the path, you know? And then it's too late. It's a lot more work after. It's a lot.
Why too late? How can it ever be too late?
Because the mechanism, there's no motivation to... You know everything makes no difference. You know that once the truth is seen, it's very difficult to develop a habit or to develop the capacity to see concepts clearly. That mechanism is better developed prior to seeing the truth. If it's not developed, then new concepts will be grasped, and some kind of an ego will develop. And what happens then is that that capacity, what was not done in a satsang speaker, the work that was not done prior to seeing the truth, the work that was not done on seeing through the mind, they don't have any ability at all in working with people who come to hear them speak. They're not able to bring them to a place that they haven't gone to. They're not able. And so I've seen with satsang speakers that have toned down certain things. For example, reinforcing the position. Just a habit, a personality trait. Okay, post-awakening. Personality trait of defending oneself. You defend it prior to seeing the truth because it's the ego holding onto it. The habit is still there and not broken down after awakening. Then personality trait. Now, there no ability at all for folks who attend that satsang to break that down. But so sticky, it's a different piece and it hasn't been seen through as a concept. And so it still runs. And the thing is, what I've noticed is that this type of a satsang speaker will attract a lot of people who are really stuck on that facet because that's where it's safe. That ego aspect will...
Terrible.
A lot. This happens a lot. Yeah. Of where like, yes, of course that person is going to go there because that's what's running there. They will never get that aspect of their ego shaken. It's very safe for the ego there. This happens a lot, yeah.
It's vicious.
Yeah, the ego is tied here. It won't be challenged here, you know? Yeah. The trick, you know, to keep the show going. There is a movement of consciousness to manifest in any which way it does. So of course it's going to have spirit, you know, whatever, satsang speakers, you know, who are still clearing stuff, or who are resistant to clearing stuff, or who have no time at all about, for that idea that there's something to be cleared and not to be cleared. It's all there. So it's difficult enough for somebody to kind of to know where do I go then? How do I work through this jungle? Do you know who do I go to? You know, you have to find out for yourself. You know, people have to find out. Okay, what tools do I need, and who can teach me these tools? You know, and when you get those tools, if you have to move, you have to move. You know, don't stick anywhere. You know, just like what's burning now? Where is the sticky shitty bit inside? You know, where is that? Where does it not feel good now? What's going on now? You know. And if you think you're beyond the speaker, it's like, oh, so-and-so is just, I'm beyond what they're talking about. It's like, well, now go back to them and really see, you know, really see. Any kind of arrogance at all is worth investigation. Complex enough, really, you know. At the end of the day, you just got to use your gut and let the natural flow work its way out. But if your head gets involved, it's a tricky sector. It's a tricky sector.
In my experience, I tried many different things, and it always becomes interesting when it is when difficulties come, when tension comes. Then I get curious. Then because I know there is something running now.
And the unraveling continues, you know.
Yeah.
And something in the Jack character honors that, you know? It's like, or respects it, or gives it space, or allows it, or whatever word we use, you know? Yeah, it's like, it keeps going, you know? It keeps going. Nothing is dismissed, or everything is dismissed, but that movement of consciousness unraveling itself and becoming finer and finer. Yeah. Let the evolution continue, you know? Yeah, and if your monitor is tension, or there'll be a monitor, you know, there'll be something. You know? But being beyond any of it, well, that's a smelly one, you know.
So you wrote a book a while ago?
I didn't. There's another one half written, which would be much deeper in terms of the subtleties of mind, how consciousness believes itself to exist, this type of material, the nature of silence, the nature of concepts, the nature of space. It's this kind of stuff. Which, of course, this Jack character loves, you know. These finer subtleties, the exploration of how mind works, you know. It's basically come or not to finish it, but it's there. I recorded a CD, actually, which is coming out next week. A chanting CD of 8 songs, you know, original stuff. That was great fun. And maybe next year the book will get finished. Maybe it's the 2013 thing. Maybe so. We'll see where some space comes. But when writing happens, it needs a body of time, you know, and trying to find a bulk doesn't happen much, you know. Yeah.
It's difficult stuff. I sometimes try to take some notes and put something together, but I always come into struggling with the words and how to express it. And there's so much limitation in language.
Yes, very true. I brought a DVD out earlier this year called Going Nowhere. And some new ways of talking about prior to non-duality. Some new phrases came out there, you know. That's a good DVD for folks who are interested in the nature of concepts or how it works. How does it work from the personal, the impersonal, this I am? What are all of these layers? The I am, the amness part, the idea of existence. How does that seem so plausible? And prior to existence itself, where that came from. And so looking at the whole spectrum of how thought becomes so dense so you believe you're separate. That people are saying that's the Amazon reviews anyway say that, yeah, this is just explained in a whole new way. So it's like the language is coming. The language is coming to be able to say this, you know. It's coming. It's like I'm kind of pregnant with it. Do you know? Yeah, it's coming. The first shot was that Going Nowhere DVD and deeper still will be the second book, yeah. Yeah. The language is like, it's almost like an evolutionary thing, I think, Reinhold, you know? It's like we can't use old language for this. It doesn't work. Language becomes staid very quickly. So, like, okay, I used a phrase there a few minutes ago, like, prior to non-duality, because non-duality is now so used, it's actually right in the duality of non-duality. Exactly, see? So with the use of language, it loses its potency to point. And so it's like consciousness births more language, which of course will be tainted and will be pulled back in. But hey, it's great fun when there's a new way to see it. It's like it brings a freshness or just a little opening in the limitations of mind and of language which we have to date. So new language will come, but it will become old very quickly, very quickly, very quickly. But it's exciting, you know, how it does birth a new perspective, a new way to look at it, you know. It's only mind looking at mind, but it's fun.
As soon as we start with the words, it's mind.
Yes. Look for new language, new imagery, new metaphors. There must be a freshness in the language, although that's the key, you know,
because there's
an existing framework of language, and you're looking for that no place. It's got to rest no place, you see, and that's what points somebody to, like, expansion of mind, expansion. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yeah, the most fresh for me is... there is a movie being played. And this is what is experienced, apparently. But by this no place, fundamentally. Actually, it is not even experienced. It's just being played.
No, it's not. It's only being experienced by the individual. Yeah.
Not more that I could say, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Anything that would be added to this would create confusion.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, it's very simple at the end of the day. But, you know, there's all these things to play with at the same time. But at the end of the day, that's just play, you know, it's just play. The mind has no place to go, you know, it's not going anywhere or discovering anything. It's just exploring what it can do, what it can create. But it's just all Maya, it's only creating more movie. It's doing more, creating more movie.
I came to that point during an exercise. It was a diet with the question, tell me who is in. I don't know if you know this method of diets. It is one person, two people sit opposite each other and have eye contact.
Okay.
And then one person asks the question, tell me who is in.
Okay.
And then the other person talks for 5 minutes, just tells who is in.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
And then the roles change. So everybody speaks 4 times and listens 4 times.
Okay.
And then the same is repeated with another partner, for example. And during that exercise, it's just a movie in front of nothing. I could only talk, it's what's happening right now. And it was clearly seen. So I considered that to be a quite helpful device. But the partners were struggling. I mean, it was amazing to see what happened on the other side. The eyes started rolling and people just almost fell down. I mean...
Wonderful! Yeah.
So... I mean, I think that was invented by Osho,
okay.
Others say, who am I? That was Ramana, I believe, who proposed, suggested this question. Experience. But since that exercise, that's clear, it is crystal clear. Cannot be shaken, cannot be shaken anymore. Rest is conditioning and movie. In the end, it's so utterly simple.
Yes, it is. Beautifully exquisitely simple. Sitting there all the time. So obviously missing.
This subtlety is, I don't know how to express it. Once there is a belief in anything, it's missed.
Yeah, a cloud comes over, a mist rolls in. And then what do you say?
So, I believe in being a separate individual is already on a very high level there. It's much more subtle, even believing of anything to exist.
Existence itself.
That's...
Existence itself. It's a key one.
Too late. Already too late.
Too late. Existence is a myth. This has to be blown off. There's no mystery, you know. There's nothing that is a fact. There is only subjective perception. It's
like the movie is being played, sir.
Yes, the movie is being played.
So let it be played. Be it played.
Think about it. It's gonna play. It's gonna always play. And then there's another perception of where it never played at all. Like, it never could have happened. It couldn't even have been an appearance. And that can be seen too. Perception itself is not. Pure perception itself is not. Mm-hmm. At another point.
Poof.
Nothing. You take nothing away.
And then believing happens. There is good, there is bad. There is us, there is them. There is Christ, there is Muhammad. There is Buddha, there is, I don't know, Krishna. Or
believing itself to be real. Imagining itself to have a life. Which of course it can't have. But it's only imagining it. That's the best it can do. So that it has to believe this imagination in order to fulfill its potential to imagine. Hey, hello. And all the while there's nothing going on, nothing at all.
Yeah, what to say?
Yeah, we can discuss the movie forever, huh?
I'm trying to put. When I do these videos just to produce teasers. If somebody is interested. In the end, you can come into peace and get rid of suffering. That's proposed here.
Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, there's somebody watching this now and they're like, okay, yeah, it is calm, it is quiet. But how long is it going to be before the ego says, well, I want to do this now, or that's enough of that now, or what about, oh, I must do, and it's like, you know, at that moment, when if there's a moment of stillness here now, just watch the believing that something else is better than the stillness. Because it's not. The something else is invariably suffering in disguise. That's what it is. But something will trade the peace and the stillness. There might be an aroma of that arising now. And don't trade it. Don't trade it. Don't believe that garbage. If this is what you want, then don't trade it for excitement of engaging with life. Because that will invariably lead you to suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This isn't boring. Silence. Anything boring. There's no quality attached to it. But when the ego is already saying it's boring, well, it's like you're actually not. You're in the movie now. You're not outside of the movie. You know, you're not. You're in the movie if you're saying it's boring.
Yeah.
But it's too late.
It's utterly simple. It's not boring. It's not easy to achieve for many.
Yeah.
So it needs engagement too.
Yeah. To not do the movie.
That's the invitation. Yeah?
The invitation.
Interested? Do the work. Start do the work. Look into it. Investigate deeper. Not interested? Okay. No problem.
Into the movie for a while. If that's what needs to be done, then honor that, you know?
Doesn't matter.
No, it genuinely doesn't. It's going to get you sooner or later.
Or not. Even that doesn't matter.
No. Don't. No.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, I started with was strongly triggered by your question. Do you still believe you're a separate individual? It's a good question to start with. Yeah,
it's a good question to start. Yeah. It will make you go in, because if you investigate that from here up in your head, you're not investigating it. It will bring you within.
Mm.
It will push you towards that bottomless pit of just outside of water. Let the answer not come from your head, but investigate within. Honestly. And deeply.
Anything you want to add now? I believe from my side we seem to come to an end.
Nope. Nothing happening in the kindly.